Today is the feast of St. Athanasius, a doctor of the Church and the great defender of Christ's divinity against the first great heresy, denying the divinity of Christ, led by Arius in the early 4th century. Athanasius' defense of Christ's divinity cost him a great deal, especially in persecution from prelates in the early church. We might for a moment reflect on the implications of our belief in the true divinity of Christ. Because we believe that Christ, though true man, is the living God in human form, we therefore believe that whatever Jesus taught during his visible stay on earth was God himself teaching. Whatever Christ commanded is commanded by the living God. And whatever Christ did in the practice of his human virtues was God himself revealing his divine attributes for our imitation. Christ's teaching, therefore, is the teaching of God himself. It takes faith, needless to say, to believe in everything that God has revealed. And the reason it takes faith is because, by definition, what we believe, we do not comprehend. Yet, Jesus, as a man, taught us the deepest mysteries of our faith, or better, he taught us the one mystery on which all other mysteries depend, namely, that God is not a solitary being, that God is a society of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus taught that he, though man, the son of a human mother, that he, as he insisted, was one with the Father. Jesus taught that he would come at the end of time, and the same man who allowed himself to be crucified on Calvary would come to judge the living and the dead. I keep repeating in homily after homily, and Jesus taught that he is here, here in the Holy Eucharist. My friends, it takes faith, and faith takes humility, and only the humble believe. What Athanasius defended, what Christ's divinity and commanding, telling human wills to bend themselves, hear it, to another human will, that of Christ, united with the infinite, almighty will of God. How Christ's divinity to command chastity is being tested today. Told the married to remain faithful, one man, one woman, until death. Told all of his followers to remain chaste. Chaste in body, chaste even in mind. Oh, how much hypocritical lip service is given by so many nominal Christians who will not obey Christ's teaching on chastity. And finally, Christ being God, we believe, are the virtues you practice, his patience, his humility, his obedience, his poverty. Poverty is almost a crime in the modern world. Yet when God became man, he chose to be born in a stable, to see not even whereon to lay his head, to be stripped of his garments during his passion, killed and buried in a stranger's tomb. The imitation of Christ is the imitation of God. The following of the man Jesus in his human virtues is the following of the all-loving God. Everything, comma, everything. And I could repeat everything until I would run out of breath. Everything depends on whether and how deeply we believe in the divinity of Christ. Lord Jesus, we believe you are our God. In the spirit of Saint Athanasius, who defended your divinity against the learned of your day, protect us to remain faithful to our faith in your being our God, so that believing in your divinity here on earth, we may see your divinity in that everlasting heaven for which we were made. Amen. On the feast of the apostles Philip and James, we might remind ourselves what we owe to the apostles. And the answer is everything, everything in Catholic Christianity. We owe to them our faith in Jesus Christ. It was their faith in Christ being, as he kept repeating, one with the Father. It is their faith that is the foundation of our faith. Christ did not believe. He knew that he was the living God in human form. But somebody had to believe. And over the centuries, every believer can trace his or her faith back to the faith of the apostles. What's the lesson? Only believers reproduce believers. I might add, and unbelievers reproduce unbelievers. It was because of the apostles that we have the sacraments. It was they who both believed and on Holy Thursday night were given the power to administer the sacraments. The sacraments in the Catholic Church today are all traced, all seven, to these 12 apostles of Jesus Christ. It was because they first believed in Christ and then obeyed Christ that we have all the laws that Christ gave to the world. And even as only believers generate other believers, so only those who obey reproduce other obedient people. Obedience is reproductive. Obedience is fruitful. Their obedience is a ground for now 2,000 years of faithful obedience among those who accepted the apostolic teaching and followed the apostolic laws. But there is one more thing the apostles communicated to their posterity, and that is their love of Jesus Christ even to martyrdom. That's the key. The key to really loving Christ, to opening the door to the infinite treasury of His grace, the key to sharing, as Christ promised them, in His own miraculous power, the key to do humanly impossible things, the key to being a true follower of Christ, the key to preserving the church over the centuries, hear it, the key to preserving the Catholic Church is suffering. Suffering out of love. The Catholic Church will survive only, that adverb is revealed, it will survive only where there are lovers of Christ who are willing to suffer for Jesus Christ. That is why all that I've said and much more that could be said, that is why we so casually can say we believe the one holy Catholic Apostolic Church founded on those whose faith gave us our faith, whose power to administer the sacraments gave us the sacraments, that we, thank God, our privilege to receive. It was their obedience that gives us the inspiration to obey in a self-willed, selfish world. It is especially the apostles who, by their suffering for the name of Jesus, gave us both the pattern and obtained for us the grace to suffer, to preserve the church, they in their day, we in ours. Saints Philip and James, apostles and martyrs, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If there is one theme that our Lord keeps repeating, it's what we've just read in today's Gospel. I have chosen you out of the world. Christ keeps contrasting himself and his teaching with the world and its teaching. For us, as believing Catholics, if there is one term we do not want to be applied to us, it is that we are worldly. So what is it to be unworldly, as we followers of Christ are supposed to be? For those who in Christ's words belong to the world, this is the only life that exists. We have a beginning, we grow, we get older, and we die, and that's it. We believe this world, and we keep adding the adjective this world, is only a prelude for the world to come. In other words, if we are truly unworldly, we believe there is a life after death. Secondly, if we are unworldly, we believe that this world is a condition for the world to come. Provided we know, love, and serve God as we should here, we believe we will be happy in the world to come. Again, we believe that in this world there are things that God wants us to do, things he does not want us to do. We have a mind. What is the most important purpose for using our mind? The most important purpose we have is to choose. Choose between things that we like and things that God wants. And we are to choose what is God's will, even if this is contrary to our own wills. One more lesson, however. Christ foretold the way the world has treated me, it will treat you. If they've appreciated you, they will appreciate me. If they have persecuted you, it's because they have persecuted me. If there is one thing that we better be clear about, we should not expect from the world and a better treatment than Christ received in his day. How hard, how very hard it is in the world in which we are living to not, what a mild word, to be tainted or stained. How hard it is not to be seduced by the world in which we are living. But I have one more thing to say. If only all this unworldliness, if only it was people from outside of our faith, if only it was people who are outside of the Catholic Church who are our only enemies. But let me tell you, in any city beginning with Detroit, let me tell you, I've been here less than 3 years. I know, how well I know, to remain faithful to Jesus Christ, faithful to his teaching, and not compromise with the teachings of Jesus Christ, especially in two virtues, in obedience to the church's teaching and in the practice of chastity. Oh, what I've learned in less than 3 years in the Archdiocese of Detroit. Pray on bended knees that Jesus Christ will have mercy on the Archdiocese of Detroit, and those who under God should be teaching it what we need to do to be saved. Lord Jesus, protect us from being deceived by the world. Keep our wills obedient to your teaching. Keep our passions, dear Savior, under control. Because it is only by serving you faithfully, and I repeat, chastely in this world, that we have hope of attaining to that life in the world to come, for which only those have a right who have sacrificed their own wills in order to conform to the will of God. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.